Welcome to Scattered Cells Anime Podcast number 3, 2007 edition, now with upgraded sound. This is your host, as usual, Michael Huang, and my co-host, Raymond Hu. Take it away.
Hello.
As you can see, our voices are now magically deeper and sexier for your enjoyment and pleasure, because we both got new microphones that flatter our voices. So,
oh, they're actually listenable.
They are actually listenable, that's right. So for everybody who was complaining about the sound quality in the first two episodes, now you can critique the content of our podcast rather than the quality of our voices.
That's assuming if anybody ever listened.
Actually, I think now, I'm not sure anybody really, except my anime club president and one other guy, listened to the first couple. Because
exactly.
We didn't. However, we are starting to pick up some readers. Because every time something gets posted on the website, you know, animeblogger.net's antenna picks it up. And you notice that, yeah, especially if you say something controversial or something, or take on a sacred cow, you might start getting responses. And I think you had that experience, right? So
it's perfectly fine, but nobody's flaming. I'm waiting for someone to say, "You stupid jerk from an Asian country don't understand anything."
Well, I think
hell to Americanism. Hell to America's global takeover, next global takeover, next target, Korea, it wouldn't be North Korea. It'd be, I wouldn't know.
Iran, maybe? I don't know.
Yes, it would be Iran.
Iran. Yeah, except that we're...
Ironic. Oh,
it would be very ironic, yes. Har, har, har.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Bada boom, bada ching.
Puru 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 ring, puru puru ring, puru 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 ring, puru puru ring. That's what has become my favorite song lately.
Wait a minute, so you've actually started watching Welcome to the NHK?
No, I just downloaded the song. I watched a few episodes, but I didn't continue for whatever stupid ass reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know some people who have actually made that into their actual ringtone on their cell phones. Some really sad anime fans who actually...
You know, I have some anime songs for my ringtones.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, the thing is
Haruhi's,
is that,
but,
see, that's different. See, the Haruhi songs are actually good songs. The Puru 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 song is a song that was written expressly to make fun of otaku-like anime.
That's a good idea. I think I'm going to do that to annoy the hell out of everybody else around me.
Yeah, I mean, it features in the show a lot because that's the ringtone of Yamazaki, the next door neighbor of Sato. And
that's
like,
right.
Every time the phone rings, it's in the MIDI kind of electronic tones, and I know there's a place where you can. I take it you actually downloaded the entire song. Like, there's an whole song with actual verses and, like, choruses. And...
Yeah. And there's one part where it just sounds really evil. At least the background music just sounds really evil for some reason.
Oh, my.
It's when the magic girl is transforming. And yeah, it has a really evil flavor to it.
Did you ever listen to the Cutie Honey theme song? The cutie?
The original or the Anno version?
I mean, the new version that's in the Anno recreation is exactly the same song, except that's just been re-recorded with modern production values.
You mean the one by Kodakumi?
Kodakumi did the remake, yeah.
I haven't.
I actually really like it. I really like the...
Yeah. It's a really nice song. It's a really catchy, nice song.
Yeah. I think it's probably the prototype for all of these magical girl transformation songs that ultimately culminates in Puru 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 Purin. Because that's
it's
like
Purin. It's Purin.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what all these songs boil down to in the end when you break them down.
And it's boobs juggling.
I say
boobs, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
I meant breasts juggling.
And they even talk about that in the Cutie Honey song, don't they?
I think you said girl with a small butt.
Oh, okay.
Girl with a small butt.
The things they got away with in the 1970s. Anyway, the first thing we're going to talk about actually is, yes, now we actually are starting to get some readers here and there. Thank you for everybody who's posted.
Wow! What? Not really.
And the first big conflagration and the most popular posting so far was, in fact, your post about complaining about dubs. And I believe it was actually your response to my previous post about kind of the English auditions for the Haruhi Suzumiya website. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so well, for everybody who posted in favor of dubs and in defense of dubs, I'm afraid I'm going to have to mostly agree with my partner here. I'm more or less a sub fan. I really do think that in general, now actually in general, with all foreign film, anime included, it should be enjoyed. It's best enjoyed in its original language. And now, though in theory, animation's a little bit different, mainly because you don't see an actual actor, and so it's like, isn't it 10 times more comical whenever you hear an English dub of a live-action movie? Isn't it?
Ah, I have faced my enemies.
Like, have
and
you ever...
Now,
have you ever watched any the English dubs of a Jackie Chan film?
Not Jackie Chan films. Some of the older martial art films that people actually make fun of.
Yeah, like
those are the really really cheesy dubs. I've watched 5 seconds. I was like, if I don't stop watching, I'll die from laughter.
Yeah,
they're literally running out of air. Basically,
it's really funny because like I think in Kill Bill Part 1, Quentin Tarantino actually tried to write dialogue in English that was supposed to be as stilted as like the English dubs of foreign like. Kung fu movies. That's why it was intentionally sounded really cheesy.
Pai Mei.
Yeah.
A duel of Pai Mei.
Yeah.
And there's a 5-step heart exploding stance or some shit like that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your Japanese is as good as a native. Oh, your Japanese. I think there was a scene like where Uma Thurman actually talks in like pretty decent Japanese.
And she was talking with a swordmaster guy.
It was a swordmaster
guy.
It was a swordmaster who was also like a sushi chef or something. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it got really bloody. Though actually I think part 2 redeemed it. But anyway, this is an anime podcast. This is not a though there was an anime part in Kill Bill, I think.
Kill Bill's idea is partially borrowed from anime anyway.
Yeah, especially
episode 1.
Especially part 1, especially with the schoolgirl, and the anime section of it actually, which was animated by Production IG, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
and the first part when Uma Thurman flying into a city.
Yeah,
that's shot out. That's practically out of the anime production. That's like and a bunch of anime shots.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call these movie shots. They're more like anime shots, if anything.
Like they're framed kind of the way anime tends to frame their shots too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I guess the connection answer. So. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Let's come back here.
Yeah, subs versus dubs. And, well, I think basically, I can only think of one good dub that I really liked, and that was the Cowboy Bebop one. For some reason, I guess they picked the right characters to do them, because it sounded very natural to me. Like, it almost, the thing I really don't like about most dubs is that most dubs.
You know,
actors,
I think they have a handful of dub actors in the United States. There's only, like, very few of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know why, actually? I actually know an aspiring voice actress in my anime club. She's currently taking classes, and she's trying to get into the English dub, like, industry. You have to be a union member in order to... There's a voice actors union. It's not just for anime voice actors, but for every voice actor, like, for any animation voice acting.
Right.
And also for... also for English dubs of, like, foreign films. So you have to belong to a union.
You mean one of these guys actually when I have learned
that
you're a special attack, now I will defeat you. Uh-huh. you're kidding, right? No, you're not kidding.
No, I am not kidding.
Oh, my God.
This is another aside, but there's a French film called Jesus of Montreal. And, you know, it's actually about this modern-day passion play. But one of the scenes, you see, one of the characters is a porn voice actress. What she does is that she does porn, like, voiceovers for foreign porn movies. Like, she's supposed to be a Mary Magdalene character. Like, she's like, you know, Mary Magdalene traditionally is considered a prostitute. And this is, like, the equivalent. And so there's a scene where she and, like, her male partner, like, voice actor partner, are just standing on, like, next to the microphone setup and everything like that. And they're doing all these really fake sounding, like, orgasm noises. It's so hilarious. Actually, it's just like that Haruhi English audition from Mikuru. That's exactly what it sounded like. That's why I thought it was both disturbing and really funny.
I voted for a third person.
The third person?
I voted for the most popular person.
I thought actually it was the second person was the most popular.
Okay, whoever. All right, the second person.
They've actually put up more auditions. There's one for Yuki now. And she's a lot easier to do, quite frankly. Cause
anybody can do Yuki.
You just need a really flat voice, and that's it. Because she's a Rei Ayanami clone, so, I mean... She was
But Rei Ayanami was done by the classic person, done by Megumi-sama.
Megumi Hayashibara actually, you know, added some emotional nuance to her that was, very subtle. That's the mark of really good acting. Yeah, but of course, Yuki, I mean, there was an interview with her once about her experience working with Ano, and Ano actually really went into depth, like, in telling her, this is how I want the character to be, this is what she's supposed to be feeling at this moment. That's a kind of a mark of good voice acting, and that's my problem with most dubs, actually. It seems that most dub actors, like the average voice dub actor, doesn't really seem to get their character that well. Like, there's usually some sort of emotional nuance that's often missing. Like, my favorite example is the English voice actor for Shinji in Evangelion. He just plays Shinji as a whiner, when it's really a little bit different than just mere whining. It's more like, I think I wrote about this, it's more like, it's like resigned self-loathing, which is a different kind of emotion. It's related, but it's different. You see this kind of difference?
Yeah. You know what just happened?
What?
You know what just happened?
What?
I got struck by reverse ray. Why I got struck by reverse device? Now I'm gonna vote. I'm gonna cheer for dub actors, Mike.
Really?
You know what? Yeah. Why? I think those guys tries very, very hard. And you know, they're like American fans who actually define anime in American terms, in something that's more like, oh, you know, this is our experience, and we try really hard, and we do watch these shows, and, you know, we're excited when we do these things, and we just put our American flavor onto them, you know, we sprinkle with salt and pepper, instead of also Japanese seasonings, who knows, like wasabi and whatever stuff onto anime, we pour salt and pepper, you know, good old American classic seasoning. Right? And then they have so many American characters, and they have some stupid Japanese guy from Tokyo does them, and come on now. The guy's from New York City, man. The biggest and best city in the world. Right?
And we all know they're not really drinking, like, wine, but they're really drinking, or sake, but they're really just drinking coffee, right?
No, but I gotta hand it to the... No, seriously, I gotta hand it to Duo Maxwell of American Dub. He's like, he's doing American. I don't think he gets any easier than that.
Ah, that's true. And I know, actually, the Helsing director, the Japanese director of Helsing, he says that he really appreciates the English dub. Because, he says that, for one thing, you know, Helsing is set in England. Everybody is supposed to be speaking English anyway. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I could imagine one of those, like, better voice actress does Ravi's English part.
Oh, yeah. That at least, yeah. That's like the one, another, like, big exception. Anybody who actually tries to speak English in anime, like Japanese voice actors and actresses trying to speak English, it's positively painful, quite frankly.
Some people complain about Beck. I've never seen it, but, like, a ton of people complain about English in Beck.
Right.
It was supposed to be horrid.
I remember the earliest extended example I can think of was in Nadesico. There was one early scene when Eureka is actually speaking in English to the United Nations or something.
But as if we go this way, you'll be blocking a big barrier.
But Black Lagoon is definitely the most extended example ever, I think, I've ever seen, like, with huge stretches of actual English speech. And the thing is that the English is all correct. Like, you notice that, right?
No, Ravi does regular, that's like your local, not hood, they just but can't, local gang stuff.
Yeah, they just can't pronounce it right. The actual words are grammatically correct. So they obviously hired, like, an English-speaking person to do that dialogue.
To write dialogue. Yeah. I like to read it myself. If I got it in front of me, I read it Ravi style in front of me right now. I'd enjoy it. I'd be like, okay, Keith, if you fucking blew his cans away or some shit like that.
She is supposed to be American. That's one thing. She's Chinese American. Actually, most of the characters in Black Lagoon, except for Rock, are American. That's something that somebody, pointed out.
You're right. Even Dodge is not anybody, but he's American.
Like the guy who...
Dodge is American.
Dodge is the computer geek guy, right?
No. Dodge, man. Dutchie.
Dutch. Okay.
Dutch. Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the computer geek guy is supposed to be Jewish. And
is that from Florida?
Yeah, he's actually
from Florida. But he doesn't have that southern he needs a southern Japanese accent. Whatever that may be.
Yeah, that's what usually American dubs, when they want to do a equivalent of an Osaka accent, they usually do a southern accent. They actually did that, I think, in the Love Hina dub with Kitsune.
Kitsune.
Yeah. Yeah. She's from Osaka, but so they like made her like a Georgia Southern belle in the English version. You know, that slow like drawl, like, you know, how y'all doing?
You know, did I in Sailor Moon too?
I always depended on the kindness of strangers. You know, I actually grew up in the South. I spent 10 years in the South.
That you did.
I'm from Tennessee. Yeah. That's a bit a little bit different. People from Tennessee
is something that I cannot understand. It's supremely slow.
It's actually, I think they're really, and then like, yeah, there are a lot of different kinds of Southern accents. There's one from South Carolina. Like the Georgia one is considered the most refined one. Like, even people in the South tend to think of people from Alabama, Mississippi as being hicks. Like that's like the Deep South. Like that's literally called the Deep South. Where I live, we called ourselves the Mid South. But I never had an accent, and I never got one. All my classmates and my teachers did, but it's But anyway.
Anyhow, yeah.
Anyway, for anybody who's listening and who still wants to comment about subs versus dubs. I generally prefer subs. I mean, I think that dub actors tend to miss certain kinds of nuances, though I do acknowledge there are some good ones. And I do sometimes for anime I really love, I'm willing to watch the dub like after I've seen the subtitled version, just so I can sort of concentrate on the images. I found that I will actually learn the new things about Evangelion when I did that, actually.
Well, that's what rewatching and buying DVDs are for.
Yeah, you see, that's really one thing. I just wonder why there's still a debate. Because with DVDs, you always have both audio tracks now. And it used to be, actually, back in the VHS age, and, like, the VHS age was just dying out when I got into anime, that the dub tape would cost, like, $5 or $10 less than the subtitled version.
This is totally reversing in Taiwan. Total reverse.
I mean, that seems counterintuitive to me, to be honest.
Absolutely.
But we do owe the dub actors, the hardworking dub actors, you know, some real credit, because I don't think anime would have made it in the United States, at least, if it weren't for the dub versions that were shown on Cartoon Network. And so...
Like Gundam Wing, yeah.
Yeah, like the American fandom does owe the dub actors a great deal of credit. And though it's kind of weird that last time I was at Anime Expo, the dub actors actually have a lot of fans. Like the guy who did Ed, I think Ed, you know, from Full Metal Alchemist, Vic Montoya. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. You know, somebody correct me, you know, in the comments. But yeah, Vic, there was a really long line, like for autographs at the Funimation booth when he was doing signings.
Was he like a cool guy?
Actually, cool he was a pretty, he wasn't really cool looking so much, but he was like, I think he was in the opening ceremonies. He was pretty lively, and like, he was like, hi guys, how you guys doing? And then he like proceeded to do his Ed voice. And though I haven't actually really seen the Full Metal Alchemist dub very much, so. Have you seen Full Metal Alchemist? It's a really terrific
show. I've seen some on TV. Yeah, I see it on TV. I never finished getting it.
It's a terrific show. It's one of my favorites, actually.
I gotta. There's so many stuff that I have, like, you wouldn't believe, like even 80s shows that I haven't watched them, like City Hunter, first and second season.
Hey, they made a live action of that too.
Oh god, I've never seen that.
With Jackie Chan.
Was that what it was? I vaguely remember some film that he was kind of trying to be suave or something.
I think that was probably it.
I have no idea. Yeah, I got so many, like, I've never watched them. Like, there's so many, you wouldn't believe.
There's also Votoms, I think. That's another 80s mecha show. Did you ever see that?
Oh, I watched, like, a couple seasons of it. I've never finished. I wanted to finish that. That has something to do with Tomino, I think.
Oh, really? He did that?
Or somebody, or one of these famous Gundam person directed. Yeah, didn't he direct that?
I don't know. I don't think he did.
Armored Troopers Votom, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the show he did after the original Gundam was Space Runaway Ideon, which is actually also available now on Fansub. It's like newly released, even though it's a really old show. But...
God, it's a real classic.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I think that's pretty much my last words on Dubs versus Subs. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, but the only person I would salute is the American Duel Maxwell.
Okay.
Everyone else, whatever. I wouldn't bother getting their autographs. I would say, okay, you guys did your job. Thank you very much. Great. I will get in line for Japanese women, female sales autographs anyway. Men, any country, I don't care.
Well, you need to come to Anime Expo one of these days, because we usually get the good Japanese guests.
We get some of them here, too.
Oh, really? In Taiwan?
We had Tanaka. Did you guys ever get Tanaka Rie?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure. I mean, Anime Expo has a history of getting, like, really high guests, but, like, I think some of them canceled at the last minute. I don't know. It's
more pain in the butt to go to the United States these days.
Yeah. Like, Clamp, I think Clamp came over to the U.S. for the first time last year. And they were really, like, reticent. Like their entire panel thing was really scripted. Like, they're, like, it's like something like 100, 500 people sent questions, and they, like, picked 10 or something like that. And they didn't really stay to talk or anything. And I don't think they did an autograph session. You couldn't take pictures. You couldn't do anything. But,
That's a Japanese thing. That has nothing to do with, you know, like, they're just, like, restricted, you know. You only do so much at a certain place, and next place you can have something else for so much, like, you know, it depends.
Yoko Kano used to come to the U.S. all the time. Not anymore, but...
Yeah, thanks to Bush, I'm sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it is a lot harder to get into the United States than it used to be. That's true. Because of restrictions, yeah. That's why there are a lot fewer foreign students now in the U.S. than there used to be. Because immigration has tightened a lot, and you have to go through all the security all the time now.
I'm still on the blame Bush or everything streak. But anyway.
Anyway, this is not a political podcast, so let's go on to the news. There's not really too much news this week, but probably the biggest news is once again coming out, possibly, out of Studio Ghibli. There is a rumor online. It's only been cited by one source, but it's on Nausicaa.net, which is the main, you know, Ghibli source of information. And also an animation magazine, is that Miyazaki has confirmed the source of his next film. And it's, of all things, going to be an adaptation of a Chinese novel. And the novel is entitled I Lost My Little Boy, or, since Ray here can actually read Chinese, it's pronounced...
No. I丢失了我的小男孩.
And the English title is actually a fairly literal translation of the Chinese title. And again, we don't really know too many details and whether even this is true or not. But if it's true, it would be the second, you know, piece of work that Miyazaki has actually adapted from something as opposed to writing himself. Because the last one was Howl's Moving Castle, which was based on an English children's novel by Diana Wynne Jones. And the title itself almost sounds a little depressing, even for Miyazaki. And it does seem that Miyazaki's work lately has been getting darker, wouldn't you say?
Like I said, he's lost his joy.
Hmm.
Somehow he's lost his joy, man.
I mean, I really like Spirited Away, actually. Spirited Away was very original, and it was really, but it was really bizarre, and it did have some pretty dark elements compared to some of his previous films, and Howl's Moving Castle is definitely a lot darker. Yeah, there's a really heavy anti-war element in it. Like, because Miyazaki, like probably like you and a lot of other people, is really pissed off at Bush and the whole Iraq thing. So he actually added this whole anti-war subplot, which isn't in the book, and the Howl's Moving Castle, and so there's all these images like of wasteland and destruction and stuff like that.
I think it's a bad idea to purposely add any message like intentionally rather.
Yeah, it
I
tends to
think that's
get
a really bad idea.
it gets preachy that way, and I think Miyazaki is often I think that's probably been one of his chief dangers, like in throughout his career actually, like starting with Nausicaä, which comes very close to being preachy sometimes, and
Nausicaä was like he's practically the first big film he's got, and that was almost very close to it.
yeah, it's and actually, well, I mean, he himself said that he was kind of dissatisfied with the movie. And he said, you know, he said that his real vision was in the manga version.
Right, and which you graciously gave me, and I read, or did I buy it myself? I did buy. I bought it myself.
I think what I did is I gave you volume one, and volume one is basically the story that the movie more or less covers. But there's four volumes, and
Yes, that's right.
I haven't actually read the whole thing, but I am told that it is actually a very complex and very
Yes, it is.
nuanced like world that he develops, and it's actually also a lot more pessimistic than a movie.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful novel, if I may call it novel, except it's graphic form.
It's been compared to Lord of the Rings, the novel, and
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see after 50 years whether it lasts as long as Tolkien then. But
Nah, I doubt it. But yeah, get the thing. I told you. I seem to have told you many times back in the States to get the thing, or at least borrow it from me.
I've
I've
been
never
really
borrowed it from me.
I'm not really a manga reader. I guess that's kind of my little admission that'll probably just sent my fan credentials down the toilet, but I mean, I don't really read manga very much.
Flesh. But seriously, yeah, like with Yotsuba, well, not seriously, but like you, I wasn't laughing with Yotsuba.
Really?
I love your gifts, don't get me wrong, but the work itself wasn't that funny.
Oh, really? Like, I
Yeah.
guess it's, I mean, it's done by the same guy as Azumanga Daioh, and
Have you read it? Have you
I
read
ha
this one?
I've read the first volume of Azumanga Daioh, and of course I've seen the
Oh,
entire series.
but not Yotsuba.
I've read like the first half of Yotsuba. I was
Oh.
stealing a look at it in the bookstore when I was actually several months ago when I heard about Yotsuba.
Wow, that's right. You guys get to browse it in stores. Here, mangas are sealed.
Yeah,
If you don't know what's going on, you buy the wrong manga. Good luck.
actually, I think Borders just instituted a policy, and it seems that they only put up this sign in the manga section. It's like you're only allowed to like browse the shelves for like 10 minutes at a time or something like that, because there's way too many. There are way too many people just sitting around reading manga all day long, and so
That's right. These things actually cost money to poor people.
they're like $10 each, like in America, roughly, usually each volume.
Oh,
Yeah.
you get them for about $3.
Oh wow. Yeah, like, I know manga's much cheaper in Japan and all in overseas in Asia. I know that. It's
Yeah, but
really.
that's because Americans use better papers. But Yotsuba's paper is basically the Asian paper.
Oh
It isn't
really?
that great. Yeah,
Really?
I flipped it, and it's one of those like yellowish colored. Well, not yellowish color, but
Oh
more like
really?
recycled paper.
Oh, that's
Usually
disappointing.
manga, like I remember, like oh, they call graphic novels,
Yeah.
back in States, and then
Yeah.
you pick them up, and it's like nice white, like new paper, nice feeling. Even sometimes it smells good, and they sell for like sometimes up to 15.
Yeah, usually 15. I remember
And Yotsuba, I pick.
the original Evangelion manga volumes when they came out. Yeah, they had glossy covers and they had and really good paper. But they're all almost all the manga now is exactly like you saw with the Yotsuba volume. It's the same size and the same kind of quality of paper now.
Saves money
I think
everywhere.
Tokyopop started the trend, so I think.
Well, like there's a reason we all have to save money on this planet now, and it
Oh
isn't
yeah.
because of Al Gore.
I remember that Saturday Night Live skit where Al Gore is, and it actually has starred Al Gore. Like Al Gore was actually the host, and it was like a fictional Al Gore presidency, and you know he's talking from the Oval Office, and he's like, you know, we now have to decide what to do with our $12 billion surplus, and the fact that oil has gone down to 50 cents a gallon, you know, we have to save our oil companies.
No, you know the funny part is like Clinton never gave a shit to buy more oil because he didn't do anything about it. He let it drop too far. Okay,
Anyway,
topics. Go away.
we're not a political
Go away.
podcast.
Go away.
So
That's right.
yeah, don't shoot us. Anyway, and so basically that's all we really know about the Miyazaki film. Is that the it, we he may be doing a Chinese novel, a children's novel, and reportedly it's a novel that was actually inspired a great deal by his Miyazaki's own work. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if anybody else wants, I can kind of translate this too into English and post it on the website, I guess.
Oh, you might
This
if we can do
little,
that would be.
not the whole novel, but the synopsis.
Yeah, you can if you can read it. The whole novel is actually posted online, isn't it?
No, not the whole novel. Yes, it is, but I don't want to translate the whole novel.
Well,
I've got a
yeah,
job, man.
you've got a job where you do enough translating every day,
Well,
right? So you do enough
I can do the synopsis. As for everything else, I don't know. Learn Chinese. Like,
Yeah.
just kidding.
I know.
Anyway.
I really do feel like I really should. But anyway, and finally, there's not really too much other anime news. So but here is one piece of news which affects all geeks and Japanese people everywhere. Which is that Ando Momofuku, age 96, has passed away. Ando Momofuku is the inventor of instant ramen noodles. He is the founder of the Nissin Foods Corporation, the company that makes cup of noodles and top
And
ramen.
tastes great. And tastes great. And
College
tastes great. That's
students,
right.
programmers, and geeks all over the world are in mourning. And
No.
however, since he died at the age of 96, and reportedly he ate a lot of his own creations very often, that gives all of us who are subsisting on a diet of instant ramen great hope that we too can live as long as he, purely on a diet of ramen noodles. No, well, not really, but I'm
You
sure.
know, that sound like a commercial line just now. Are you sure you did not adopt my friend Mike and just like institute some sort of Nissin representative?
This is a Nissin Foods Corporation message brought to you by. Anyway, brought to you
Of course, if you cut out the pizza in your diet,
by. Oh,
that
yeah.
help.
Oh,
It'll
hey.
definitely help.
Oh, did you know about the product placements in Code Geass? Did you know? You heard
What's
about
that?
that? Do you know about the there's a new mecha anime called Code Geass. It's a show.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You see, this is apparent. I think this is some sort of first, you see, because there's enormous numbers of Pizza Hut product placements in this show.
Oh, wow.
Not just it's not just like, you know, you see this Pizza Hut logo or sign, you know, in random little
Man.
places. It actually gets like incorporated into the plot. Like there's an actual character who what he's trying to do, he's apparently trying to win like this stuffed animal, like if you order seven pizzas or something like that, like you like put little stamps on the card. And like, you know, so you not only see Pizza Hut signs, there is actually a Pizza Hut delivery man, and there is, you know, wearing the Pizza Hut uniform and delivering pizzas
Oh yeah?
in
He wouldn't
multiple
happen to be
episodes.
this, right? He wouldn't happen to be the secret doctor now, would he? He's the doctor who created the thing.
I have no idea. I guess this is probably, you know, we all know about the Japanese obsession with Colonel Sanders, right? So there's a Colonel Sanders statue in front of every Kentucky Fried Chicken in Japan.
Technically not true. Like Fukuyama, though, they don't.
Oh, really?
Fukuyama, they don't. Yeah, I'm sure you can see them in Tokyo, but not in Fukuyama.
Yeah.
Actually, oh yes, actually, you see them in Tokyo. Damn. Okay.
Yeah, there's actually, I think Project Eiko. There's that old parody anime has features Colonel Sanders, like some sort of chasing around Colonel Sanders, and there's also Colonel Sanders in the new horror anime Higurashi no Naku Koro ni, which yeah.
Oh, that's all right. You know, the City Hunter for the all for these who knows in City Hunter, the big guy Taco or whatever his name really is, the big Taco, the big octopus guy, he dressed up as Colonel Sanders once.
Oh wow. Yeah. I have no idea exactly what that's all about, but anyway, fast food
not a
is
problem.
clearly taking over in Japan. American fast food, it seems. And
Well, the
but
enemy is colonizing Asia, so
it
someone
is.
else got to colonize them.
But in return, the Japanese have colonized us geeks with instant ramen. Ando momofuku, you will be missed. And that does it for the news for this week. And now we're going to move on to first impressions. This isn't quite a review because I haven't finished watching the show. In fact, I've only just watched 5 episodes so far. But I think you were the one again who actually posted about it first on the website. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the third. The Japanese subtitle is Aoi Hitomi no Shoujo, or the girl with the blue eyes,
That's
roughly.
right.
And why don't you go ahead and summarize the show a little bit for us?
All right. Well, first of all, it's more like a girl with blue eye.
Ah,
But
yes.
anyway, there's, well,
Does
the
that count as
reason,
a
first,
spoiler? Or... Yes or no? I
well, it's
guess
not,
not really.
it kind of is, but it's not that big of a secret. I'm sure some people would have guessed it like a few episodes into it.
I
It's not
did.
big, it's not a huge secret. It really isn't a huge secret or something. I mean, he comes out and she goes, uh-oh, now like this person knows, but whatever. Okay,
That's
well,
all right.
first of all, you can always take it out if you want. It's not like a huge plot shattering secret. It probably has something to do with the plot, but whatever. You get to know about a few episodes into it anyway. It's
Actually,
not a
how
big
far are
deal.
you? How far are you yourself in the show?
I think I'm like 15 or something.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
15 or 16 or something. I'm not like halfway or whatever. So, but anyway, the show goes like this. I think it was definitely adapted from a novel, and basically it's about there was this war on this Earth-looking planet. Gee, and then oh yeah, I'm 15, right? And then what happened is that this old big war that practically destroyed everything and caused a massive desertization, if that's a word, on this blue planet.
As well as
That's a lot.
mutation.
Yes, that's right, and that's right, a mutation because you have giant desert scavenger slash attack ants.
Ants
Like,
and worms and
that's
spiders.
right. And spiders, that's right. And basically what happened is that there's this girl who's extremely skilled with her sword, and she's basically called the sword dancer. She uses a Japanese katana, and she wears a rainbow like red headband on her forehead, on her head, which is again to cover something.
Right.
Like you didn't like we didn't just know. Like we didn't know that. Anyway, so we but you
It's
know,
all right.
despite
I think it should be
my
okay. Don't
yeah,
worry
I mean
about
despite the way I said it, but it's actually well written, and I like the story progression. I mean, the first episodes, following her around doing jobs, and you're like, okay, it's kind of episodic. But you get to like the character's voice. You might not necessarily think it's the best voice, but if she does it right, and you kind of like, oh, like she's kind of cool, and you want to watch and want to start going on. And then of course like the planet at the moment is being ruled by this group of people called the third because they have a third eye in the middle of their foreheads. And basically what they did, what one of the big thing in the show is that they instituted a rule or a restriction called the technus taboo. Basically means that humans can only have so much technology to a degree, but cannot have much more than that. So, for example, if you were to have a power suit which you can wear around and kick ass, that would be illegal. And they will send out like the machine troops that supposedly have their own mind, like good AI, I guess. Yes, that's right. They have the good old AI, and they will come and arrest your ass, and then take and haul you off somewhere. I assume to prison. Actually, we don't know where those people went.
There's
Of course,
also
if you
a
watch it.
really powerful one called the Blue Breaker, which,
Oh, that's right. That's right.
that
This is
actually,
like one. Go ahead.
has enormous amounts of destructive power, but go ahead.
Yeah, but he's like one of the arch. He's like the arch enemy of the main girl. Honoka, that's it. Her
Hanukkah,
name's
yeah.
Honoka. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So like that's the basic story. And then so the questions we're obviously having are A, what? Who are the third? How do they take over planet or? And then B, I guess this should be A, but what happened? you know, why the war, you know, and then B will be, okay, who are the third, how did they take over, you know, like, and then C, like, what's the Holocaust connection with the third, uh-huh. And, you know, like, and of course, on her travels, she meets this person, and this blonde dude with a ponytail, he comes in, and, you know, he becomes a travel companion, and it seems like he's from another place, he's not even from... It seems like he's from another place at any rate, because he's different.
Okay, he's and not... I want to say... I guess I shouldn't say it. I was going to ask whether if he was a third or not. That's what I always assumed he was, but...
Well, actually, I don't know. At this point, I don't know. I'm on 15, I don't know.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm saying he's not from where... Like, he's... My impression, anyway, is he's not from the planet, even.
Hmm. Yeah, that's my guess, so, too. That's what it seems like. But he's Bishonen-rific, so
he's a character that girls drool over, and of course Honoka has feelings for him.
Yeah, suppressed feelings.
Right, exactly. And we get some really interesting, we have some other side interesting characters comes in, and like this big breasted teacher was, okay, I don't want to talk about her identity, whatever. It's not a big secret either, but it's more fun if you watch it.
There's also the AI tank. Bogey.
Don't forget Bogey. Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually I like him. He's a really funny character.
Yeah, he makes the show interesting when he asks these like flat like comments.
Yeah.
And like picks on Honoka, and Honoka mm-hmm. gets all like jumpy, and not pissed off, but gets all like provoked, and you know, like it makes the show more interesting because she's like the more fiery person, more fun, interesting person, and he's like seeming flat and dull, and you know, like
he's really sarcastic more, though.
Very sarcastic, you know. He's like one of those, like, really, oh, you gotta save this, you gotta do that, you know, sort of thing. But he's really sarcastic. He's like one of those butler guy.
Yeah.
Like in those shows, like there's British butler guy.
Yeah.
That will be him.
I really wish the Tachikomas in Ghost in the Shell TV show were more like him. Because the Tachikomas were like had really high pitched, squeaky 5-year-old voices.
Oh, but they're kids.
They are kids. They were really funny, though. They were really funny. I think there was an entire episode devoted to them once. But
I thought it was just all right. I thought it was all right. I thought I really liked these kids because they really did like a lot of things that people couldn't do.
Yeah,
at the end.
And oddly enough, the show often used them to ask a lot of the philosophical questions. But anyway,
I think that's to prevent people from saying, God, this is just like the movie where they have all these stupid questions asked all the time. I think they're the device to substitute for asking questions directly.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway,
That's pretty much the whole thing I've known so far about the third.
Mm. It really reminds me, oddly enough, of a combination of Nausicaa and of Last Exile. The third really so far. I mean, I've only seen a few episodes. They really resemble the Guild in Last Exile, and the way that they're sort of controlling the world from top down. They're all dressed in white. Right. They kind of look like elves, you know, and they really do look like elves.
Dressed in white. They're dressing. Yeah, they do look like elves, though.
They look like a whole race full of Legolas. And
they look like the banner of the crest of the stars people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Ob, I think they're called in Crest of the Stars,
But, the thing is that for those who doesn't like this voice actress, who also does Ravi in the Black Lagoon.
Really? Yeah, Honoka?
She's the same person.
Honoka's really?
The same person. She's the same person.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that. I mean, Honoka's a very different kind of character.
Yeah, but you get some of the... You can imagine Honoka deepens her voice a bit,
mm-hmm.
and she gets nastier, like 10 times more nastier in personality. Mm-hmm. She will be Ravi.
I'm gonna wait for some like kick-ass moments, like when she's about to kill somebody. Maybe she'll deepen her voice, like, you know, you're next, and then.
No. I don't want to say nothing, but Honoka isn't that type of character.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh, and that's for really those interesting.
Right, and I guess for those last bit of a thing, like for those who are Tanaka Rie fans, who like gonna see Destiny, who likes Lacus or something, like who likes Tanaka Rie, she's also Chi, by the way.
Ah, that's right. Yeah,
She's also Chi, so she's playing a role. She's a very versatile voice actress. She can play a lot of things.
That's a mark of a good Asumanga actress. Dayo.
That's right. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah.
What did she do in Asumanga Dayo? I don't remember.
She was the cynical girl. She was the sort of not cynical but sarcastic girl with glasses.
Oh yeah, what's her name? I don't remember her name.
She's a dieting girl. She's a girl who's on
the one
diet.
Who's obsessed with the weight. Yeah, I remember her.
That's right. That's right. That's her. And I was surprised too. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was, I think that's a mark of a good actor or a good actress, is that you can play all kinds of different roles and, like, you won't be even able to tell, like, if it's a different kind of person, that is the same person. Like, actually, in the past, I was almost always able to figure out if it was Megumi Hayashibara, for instance, because her voice is very distinctive.
It's not too difficult, right.
Her voice is very distinctive. And,
right.
And more recently, actually, I saw this 6-episode OAV drama called Hantsuki. I don't feel like reading the entire Japanese name right now, but apparently the main girl in that show, it's a romance like drama, and the main girl in that show, her actress is the same actress who played one of the principals in Honey and Clover, but I had no idea. And her character in like Hantsuki was 10 times more annoying, and she actually played the annoying character in Honey and Clover too. But she was in Honey and Clover, she was annoying, but she was realistic and like believable. But in Hantsuki, she's just stereotypical, and it's kind of sad, really. But
you know, since we're talking about like voice seiyus,
yeah,
I've got to say, like, these days they like to find seiyus like that with the same type or style of voices that just look, they're just cute.
Yeah,
that's annoying. Because seiyus used to be like, maybe they're not pretty looking, but they all have a distinctive and strong voice. But these days, though, you have a lot of people who are not... You have Tanaka Rie or Kawasumi Ayako, who's versatile. Well, right. Ayako isn't that versatile, but she's very good. And you have people who are generic, but they're featuring all these sort of like, I don't know, like harem shows or guy and girl shows and whatever. And you get a ton of them, and you're like, they all kind of sound the same.
I think it's because a lot of anime these days are now much more explicitly directed at otaku. And so, like, that's why there's been an explosion of harem shows. I've noticed that. And a lot more, I think, especially the moe kind of characters. That demands a certain kind of voice, I think. I guess probably the prototype or the ultimate example recently would be Mikuru in Haruhi Suzumiya.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of like the prototype or the epitome of like all the anime kind of heroines that we're starting to see in a lot of these kinds of otaku oriented anime. And yeah, I guess if those kind of voice actresses are the ones who are in demand, you're going to see those who play different kinds of roles or have a different kind of appeal. Like, I think now they also have to appear, like, in, not only pop albums, but also for photo shoots. So they have to be pretty now,
too. They have to be on stage, basically.
Yeah.
Did you know that started in the early 1990s with the idol Seiyu Boom?
Really?
Which, so, like, basically with those Kotono, Mitsuishi Kotono, who plays Sailor Moon.
I really thought it started with Minmay.
Hisakawa Aya. You know, maybe, but basically what I read is it started back in the 90s when they really had idol Seiyu Boom. Because apparently Macross found a singer
right
for Minmay's role, whereas idol Seiyu means those people were Seiyus to begin with.
Right, they weren't. What's her name again? I can't believe I've seen her live. What's the name of Minmay? Yeah.
Mari
Ijima. That's her. Yeah, she actually, she's a real musician. She actually writes all her songs and, like, plays instruments. And
she used to be, like, popular in Japan, They just decided to find this person to do animation because they had money.
Yeah.
Like, basically, after 80s, after Japan's economy went down, and then they just decided, they decided finding real seiyus. And then, but guess what? People will say, okay, we like those seiyu people. And so, like, not very good-looking people, and sometimes who couldn't sing really well, had to do those idol things. If you watch the Sailor Moon Live Idol concert, like that one concert which I saw, I was laughing at Kotono-san because I was laughing at all of them.
Oh, really?
And she was the only person who couldn't sing, basically.
I think the voice actress for Haruhi Suzumiya, Aya Hirano, I think her name is, she's become a really big star.
Great.
She's become a really big star. And you know what the weird thing is? I've listened to interviews with her. Her normal speaking voice is much higher pitched and cutesy than like Haruhi Suzumiya. It's really interesting.
It's a 5-year-old. It's like an 8-year-old girl.
It's exactly the opposite of what you normally would expect. It's like her cutesy voice is her normal voice, and her more mature voice is actually the one that she uses for like acting. It's really weird.
An audition. That's right. Yeah. She went on that top famous Japanese show, Hey Music Champ.
Yeah. Oh, I think we saw the same interview. Yeah.
We definitely saw the same interview, and she was like, "So yes," and everybody's like, "Whoa!" And she's like, "Fushino kanji." Oh wait, I shouldn't be doing this. This is disgusting. But anyways.
But no, then there's a moment like when she goes into like sexy woman voice, like you know, "Dame desho," you know, Tanaka-san.
Hamada-san.
And then like
it's Hamada. It's Hama-chan.
And then like everybody starts like whoa. I think there was one blogger. I think it was Kurogane who's like, you know, 100 points of moe damage.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but I would think it's the opposite when she's talking.
Yeah.
That's 100% of moe damage.
Yeah, I guess it is.
She's like, oh, no. I know, she's like the moe goddess all the time. And then when she does a voice change, it's like a shockwave attack or something.
I know there was one person who, in my Black Lagoon review, who actually thanked me for reviewing Black Lagoon because he thought Haruhi was so overrated. And I actually wanted to set the record straight that I do actually like the Haruhi Suzumiya show. And it's not the greatest show on earth, perhaps. And there were lots of terrific shows in 2006. But I gave it an award. I gave it an originality award. So, I mean, that's that.
Yeah, at least you wrote a real review. I was just trying to BS my way because I got too lazy.
Like what I'm actually trying to do is actually I try to take notes like when I'm watching a few things that I'm intending to review. Though I got kind of lazy, like with Hantsuki, for instance. Like Hantsuki was just so underwhelming that I just didn't bother. I just finished it. It's like, oh well, I gave it a 6.5 out of 10, which was actually probably pretty generous because I really didn't think it was all that.
Yeah, that's nice of you.
I was actually thinking I was going to heckle it. Like I thought it was going to be that bad. And it actually wasn't that bad. Like it wasn't horrible. But it wasn't that great either. And I know there are some people out there who really liked it. I've read your reviews and I'm sorry. It just didn't feel believable to me. It felt more like contrived melodrama. And after watching, I'm going to keep like plugging Honey and Clover because Honey and Clover for me has set the standard for like realistic drama. Like I can't watch what's the name of the show?
Kimiga
Nozomu Aien, which in English
Aien
is called Rumbling Hearts. I don't get this.
They've retitled
it Rumbling Hearts. I have no idea. That is a dumb title. I'm sorry. It's just
That should be your internal wish. Sounds so much closer. Sound so much closer.
I love those Japanese like poetic vague Japanese titles, man. Like the Kimiga's like English literal English title is like Eternity You Wished For. That's a terrific title. And Hantsuki's title in English is what? The Looking Up at the Half Moon. That's actually a really terrific title too. And but no, I guess that wouldn't sell.
Like, it's a little bit melodrama-y, but yeah. Anyway. And I'm plugging Black Lagoon.
Yeah. Well, Black Lagoon. That Black Lagoon and everything is in English. The title of the show is English. Every episode title is also English.
You know, even the singer who sings in English.
It's not very good English, but...
No, it's not, but the music itself is terrific.
Oh, I like the music,
I got a big gun. I took it from my lord.
Oh, that's right.
I love that. But I guess I'm just going to, like, shoot off in a tangent. Not even a tangent, but D. Gray Man. Please just watch it. Like, this latest episode with this German lady. It was just most touching performance I've ever seen. Like, she's like... I think she's the bravest character in the whole manga so far. The show has to be her.
I think I'm probably going to start watching it and like start doing the log for it because I noticed that the only time I seem to get readers is if I actually blog on like a current like anime, like something that's actually ongoing. And D. Gray Man is ongoing. So like when I did my Afro Samurai review, it was, you know, that's a very current one. I was not very impressed with Afro Samurai, but I know some other people were too. But it's
I have no idea. I've never seen it. I wasn't gonna watch it.
It's free. It's online, so it's free.
Okay, maybe I'll try it. Just for Samuel L. Jackson's sake, I'll watch it. But
he doesn't talk very much in that episode. See, that's one of the disappointing things about it. but it is animated by Gonzo, and it's actually very well animated. And it's actually based on a Japanese doujinshi, believe it or not. So.
I just want to hear him say, like, what the motherfuck are you doing?
See, we were all waiting for that. And it doesn't happen.
And he cut his head off and said, oh shit. You just freaking head off. This is cut his freaking head off.
See, no, the Ron Perlman character is the one doing all the swearing in this episode.
Oh, come on.
I know, it's so lame. Everybody is watching this show just to hear Samuel L. Jackson do his Pulp Fiction routine. And we don't get it.
He said, there are those fucking snakes, those are fucking gangsters out there. I'm gonna cut them off a piece of shit up. Oh, dear.
Okay, if we swear much more, I'm gonna have to put an explicit tag on this episode. But...
Yeah. Sorry.
Alright, anyway.
I was gonna beep myself out, but anyway.
Anyway. I don't know. I mean, I guess with the third Hitomi no Shoujo, back to topic again. I hope our digressions aren't too uninteresting. I think they actually are. But I really was impressed, like, from the very first note of the theme song, because I really like the theme song.
That's a good music.
It's actually got really good music. I really like the poetic little interludes, even though that it actually breaks, like, a lot of the rules of visual storytelling. Like, there's a lot of narrator voiceover.
Oh, that's right. I was like, dude, let us guess.
I mean,
watch it from the sink.
Actually, right now, come to think of it, I really liked it in episode one. But by episode three, it was getting really annoying. Like, because he was just simply explaining the emotions in the subtext when we're really supposed to figure that out ourselves. And that's like a big no-no in visual storytelling. Like, you're not supposed to do voiceovers if you can help it at all, actually. And I think what's happening is that you said it was based on novels, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like what he's doing, he's reading passages from the novel. That's... Like, this is stuff that, like, I've written stories like that before. Like, you're supposed... Those are passages you write because you can't show this stuff visually in a novel. You have to write it.
Yeah, so, it's like somebody reading off in Lord of the Rings and Aragorn was feeling down on himself.
And it's... Yeah, it's... You know, it's intrusive.
Aragorn was going on, it's like, shut up. It's shut, like, the hell up.
And it's there's a scene where Honoka is feeling really sad and she's grieving. And it's like, you know... Honoka was grieving, and she didn't know what to do. You know, her tears rained down like...
Shut up. Like,
I know. I know.
It's like, we're like visually challenged people trying to listen to anime, right?
So it's anime for the blind.
Well, it helps, I guess, in any way, yeah, if it helps.
Anyway, I actually do think it's a really promising show because it does seem to be a combination of, you know, some different ideas, but it's actually reasonably original and it has some interesting things that are going on, so I'm probably going to keep watching it. And once the show's complete, so I guess I can't blog it as a current show, but it's already up to episode 24 and it's finished.
Right. And I guess two last little things to add, the desert scenes in there are just absolutely gorgeous.
They are.
If deserts could be gorgeous...
Those are the best parts of the show for me. Like, when she's just admiring the beauty of the desert and just, like, in front of the whole stars, you know? And that's just pretty and nice and poetic.
And for people who want to watch action, well, she's a chick with sword that kicks ass.
Oh, yeah, that
there's
too.
Action.
Oh, that too.
There's got to be action. And, of course, a big-breasted lady teacher who shows up later use gun.
So, okay. I think I've only seen a big boob nurse. That's about it, but... Is it the same character?
No.
Oh, it's a different character.
It's a different person who shows up later, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, did you have anything you wanted to say before we close out? We've been going for more than an hour already, so...
Oh, yeah. You want to take some of these things off? No, I guess nothing. I'm still looking for, like, I'm still trying to see if I will ever get back to Harem shows, but I think no, because it just really bores the shit out of me every time now.
I think if you've seen one, you've pretty much seen them all. I mean, with a lot of them. I think the last one that really played with the whole concept, actually, it was probably the Haruhi Suzumiya. That essentially is a harem show, except that it really plays with a lot of the conventions all the time. A lot. I mean, think about it. I mean, Haruhi is theoretically in charge, But you know, Kion is the only person she listens to.
That's right.
Yeah. So in a really odd way, you know, he might. And I remember there were theories way back when that this was actually Kion's like really elaborate fantasy, and that would be what would be revealed at the end.
But, right. Somebody said, "Hey, you know what? It's because Kion told Haruhi, hey, you should form a group."
Yeah.
And Haruhi formed a group, and all these people showed up.
And, you know,
he said it.
Yeah. And then, okay, I guess I don't know if there's anybody who hasn't seen it, actually, who's listening to this podcast. I doubt
that. It's been too long, so spoil it.
Well, I was just about to say, like, in the very end of the show, Haruhi, you know, wears ribbons in her hair and ties it up in a ponytail because he thinks that she looks sexy or looks good that way. And that's like the very last thing that one of the very last things they say. She says, "Oh, that looks really good on you."
Yeah, and, exactly.
And it looks really good. She's doing his bidding. She's doing it.
Yeah,
she's even doing her.
That's right.
This demigoddess. I mean.
So basically, he's like the ultimate ruler of that universe, and he doesn't know it.
Yeah,
that's right. Does. He has to be the otaku. He's a real otaku god, isn't she? It's him.
She only thinks she's in charge. She's in charge. That's the thing.
Because the real otaku god doesn't do anything but watch anime and does nothing and goes home and does nothing. Kyung does nothing.
Kyung is living in an otaku paradise. He's surrounded by all that your favorite anime heroine archetypes. I mean, you've got the tsundere. You've got the meek moe, you know, big-breasted girl. You've got the silent, you know, intelligent chick.
Rei Ayanami.
And you've got the, actually, I think the only other girl is that green-haired Lol Fang Tan, or that's what the vloggers have named her. Tsuruya, that's her name, the one with the really big laugh. The one who says Neurone all the time. Neurone.
And there was one that tried to kill him?
Yeah, that's the class president, that's right.
Class president.
Yeah, she tried to kill
everyone else kind of was just there.
Yeah.
Well, of course, if you were in a dating sim game, the senpai, the something, the senpai, that always laugh, when they were filming, she could be like a difficult to get character in a dating sim.
Oh, I think you're talking about Tsuruya, the green-haired laughing girl, right?
I guess so. She's like, you know, like always laugh when they try to do the show. And she's like, And Mikuru tried to do it kind of serious. She's like, you know, I got defeated. And she's like, good luck to you. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, no, that was one of the most memorable scenes in that episode. It's like, ah, ha, 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 ha,
ha, ha, laugh her ass off.
And actually, yeah, that's why bloggers named her Lol Fang Tan because she has fangs. I don't know if you saw, she has fangs. Those cute little cat fangs or whatever. And she's always laughing. And so, like, they called her Law Fang Tan. LOL. Law Fang Tan.
LOL. Oh, and don't forget, like, Kyung's little sister, which looks so moe.
Oh, Lord. I think when she stuffed herself in a bag or something like that. I think there's, like, this blog called Lolitron or something like that. And, yeah, she's certainly one of the things that people want to admire.
So yeah,
to say the least. I know. Yeah. That's the most disturbing thing about anime. But anyway,
I think that's about it.
That's about it.
I want to randomly say something. I like Paradise Kiss. It's a good fashion show. It's kind of a shoujo, but it's a good fashion show.
Anyway. It's done by the person who did Nana, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I gotta watch Nana sometime. Nana. Okay. Anyway, that pretty much does it for episode 3. We've gone on for 1 hour and 10 minutes, but with upgraded sexy voices, so I think we're a lot more tolerable now. So anyway, this is Michael Hua.
And this is Raymond Yu.
See you next time.